The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Welcome to the queue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and on this episode, McDonald's secret sauce is revealed. Do you care? Probably not. The GOP are crotchety old men of life in general. We're going to discuss that, as well as we are joined by one gay advocate, Mr. Bill Delaney, to give his spin on everything we are talking about tonight. Bill, thank you so much for joining me on the queue.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
I appreciate it. Now, by being gay, you mean that you like having sex with men?
Yeah, because by the standard definition, gay means that I'm happy, which is never really the case, so I suck dick and I take it in the ass.
Fair enough. I think that that's a good place to start with this entire show. Also, Mark's new rules. Every once in a while, I'm going to throw out a new rule that I come up with. Ooh, here, let's adjust that collar. Make it look good for my new rule. New rule for Mark Bland and the people of the world, number one. You ready for this? Guys, you have to choose one, fat or bitchy. There's no in between. Either you get a fat one or you get a bitchy one. If you get a fat and bitchy one, you lose at life and therefore struck out. That's it.
If they're fat, they're already bitchy. So.
That's not true. I've met a lot of very good people that are fat and they are not bitchy at all.
How many good people have you met that are fat and not bitchy? Because every...
A few.
Just because you're fat does not mean you're jolly. I'm fat.
No.
All the goddamn time.
No. You're missing the point. Okay. And as Joe Hipperson likes to allude to everyone in the entire United States of America, I too am fat and bitchy. So how dare I make that rule? Funny, Joe. But, now, I've met a lot of women who are relatively rotund.
Okay.
I will use words like rotund.
Rubenesque.
That's a good one. Just all those generals in. So basically, those women are not always just bitchy. Like, I have met a lot of fat. Now, you also do come from the gay culture. And since I've had many a friend in my life who have been in the gay culture, I do realize fag hags do exist. If you don't know what a fag hag is, you can go look that up. It's really not my business to tell you because it should be somewhat self-explanatory, I would assume, maybe.
It has its definition.
It does have its definitions.
It varies from hag to hag.
Yeah, hag to hag, it does vary across the board. And those need to be deemed useless across the board. Fag hags, useless across the board. Because they really present nothing but problems for everyone.
All they are just simply cockwalkers. If you take a fag hag.
Okay. Go ahead.
If you take a fag hag to a bar,
yes,
all they simply do is stand there with you and eyeball any other guy that's coming that wants to come anywhere near you, and it's their job, so to speak, to determine whether said guy is worthy enough.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're having some technical difficulties with Bill's mic, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to jump right back into the roller coaster. I swear to God, we'll do it. We'll be back right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. My name, of course, is Mark Bland, and I'm joined today by Bill Delaney. We were in the middle of talking about fag hags and things like that, but unfortunately, we're going to move on with the show because I think it's time for us to get into some of these topics that I rattled off at the top of the show. Bill, thanks for joining me again.
Thank you.
And let's get right into this. Pressing an election year point, Republicans have pushed yet another bill through the House on Wednesday. Today. To repeal the nation's two-year-old health care law, which has still not been enacted and it won't be until 2014, so okay. A maneuver that forced Democrats to choose between President Barack Obama's signature domestic achievement and a public that is persistently skeptical of its value. I don't technically believe the public's skeptical of its value. I think people just rattle their sabers a lot, but we'll get to that in a second. The vote was 244 to 185, with five Democratic defectors siding with the Republicans. By a Republican count, the vote marked the 33rd time in 18 months that a Tea Party-infused GOP majority has tried to eliminate, defund, or otherwise scale back the program. Opponents scornfully call it Obamacare since the GOP took control of the House. Repeal this year by Congress is doomed since the Democratic-controlled Senate will never agree, of course. Why would they ever? They like their president. But Illinois' Republican and representative Peter Roxham said before joining other Republicans on Wednesday's House vote, here's the good news, the voters get the last word November. Stay tuned. Nor was the vote in the House the only act of political theater during the day as campaign concerns increasingly crowned out bipartisan attempts at lawmaking in the Capitol. One day after campaigning, Obama called a Congress to pass his proposal to extend tax cuts on all the highest wage earners, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky offered to allow an immediate vote. I can't see why Democrats wouldn't want to give him the chance to sign the bill, he said. Okay, let's talk about this. Are you for or against Obamacare, Bill? Let's just get that out there right now.
I can't really say either which way. I mean, I'm on Medicaid and Medicare because I'm disabled.
Okay.
Okay, and I just recently found out from my therapist that I must now pay a $3 copay every time I go in.
$3?
$3. I mean, not too bad, but considering that I went from free for the last 2-3 years to I now have to pay,
right?
It's a bit of a hassle.
A bit of a hassle, but only $3.
Right.
I mean, if they would have hit you with a $30 copay, then you would have been kind of kicking yourself in the butt.
I would have just stopped going to therapy altogether.
Right. Now, let's talk about this. We have this situation where no matter what happens, all the Tea Party Republicans want to do in Congress is bitch about a health care law. Okay. 2 years ago, they jumped up and down all over the United States of America about how great it was that the American people spoke and got them all into Congress.
Right.
Now, for 2 years that they've been in Congress, they have not done a single thing but bitch and try to stop healthcare. That's it. Nothing else. They've done nothing else. You voted for and put into office a bunch of people that just go there to bitch and do nothing else. They have not enacted one other piece of legislation. They haven't attempted to fix anything else. So you feel that by just bitching about healthcare, you're winning? Would you say that that's a win, Bill?
No.
I think that the majority of people across the board, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get people that represent them in general in there to make decisions on multiple things.
Okay.
Not just one thing, right?
Right.
Would I be correct in assuming that?
Yeah, I would have to agree.
Okay, so why don't you guys stop? Because you are just giving everyone the cannon fodder that they want against the Tea Party. You're a bunch of losers, literally. I don't care who's working. It doesn't matter to me. If you're a Tea Party, you're just a loser who wants to bitch about a bunch of things and has no real reason or way to fix it. That's it. That's all you do. And this is the proof. You've been there for 18 months, and in 18 months, you haven't enacted another piece of legislation. All you've done is bitch about health care. To the tune of, what did they say? The 33rd time in 18 months? 33 times. Not three, Bill. Not three. If somebody came up to you, Bill, and said, Bill, I just don't like homosexuals, and you're a homosexual, I just don't like it. And they only said it once.
Okay.
You'd probably be like, oh, okay, you know, cool, I get it. You know, you got your thing, I got mine,
right.
Move on with life.
Just walk away.
Just walk away. If I came up to you 33 freaking times over an 18-month period.
Okay, after the third time and, you know, I don't care how long. After the third time, I'm just going to get annoyed with you and tell you to deal with it.
Right. So what do you think that the people who are Democrats and everybody else who's got a freaking brain in their head up in Capitol Hill is doing? They're getting freaking bored and annoyed with you Tea Party people because you're idiots. We want smart people that do good things in government. If you want a better government, choose people who are going to make the government better. Bitching for 18 months to the tune of 75 G's a freaking year. Hey, let me ask you all out there. Tea Party, Republican, like, I've got a lot of listeners. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, doesn't matter. I can back my numbers. I got a lot of listeners. They come from all walks of life. Republicans, Libertarians, Tea Party, Democrats, Moderates, all the way across the board. Gays, non-gays, blacks, whites, Asian, all of it. Okay? How many of you would love to have a job? In fact, if he wouldn't come in here. But Joe Hipperson. Joe Hipperson has a family.
He's trying to support a family, just like Mark's trying to support a family, just like friends of Bill's are trying to support a family, okay? I would love to get paid $75,000 a year so that every day that I wake up, I don't have to do nothing that I was voted for, and I can just go up to Capitol Hill wearing a nice suit and tell everybody, you know what? I just don't like healthcare, and it sucks. Oh, it sucks so bad. Fuck you, pay me. I think everybody would love to have that job, Bill.
I would love to have that
$75,000 a year just to bitch about one thing over and over.
Because all I get is $12,000 to do it.
See? $12,000, he'd love to have a $70,000, and you get some nice suits.
Oh, yeah.
You get to go to some, like, high-end fundraisers, some nice dinners. Oh, my God. Dude, they're bilking you. It's the morons with your Confederate flags, your Tea Party values, and your idiotic brains that voted these people in. And while you sit there shucking asphalt every single day to the tune of 60 hours a week, in the hot Missouri, Tennessee, Arizona, whatever state you're from, son, that dude's sitting in an air-conditioned office making three times what you make. And you put him there. You didn't put you there. You put him there. So who's the idiot? Who got lambasted this time? Who got shucked in job on this situation?
The American people are just retarded in general. I'm sorry. The American people, seriously, are just retarded in general. They'll buy into anything. They're like lambs being led into a slaughterhouse every single freaking day.
I'd love to hear anybody's opinion on this. 314-714-4200. 314-714-4200. If you got something important to say,
good luck.
Something with some smartness to it, I'll even make words up. If you are a theologyisms. If you got any theologyisms,
like that.
Bring it to the table. I'll take a theologyism right now. I even add an ism to it.
You're not going to get it.
No.
You're not.
I'm not going to get it.
Because, I mean, you're slapping them in the face with reality. All they are just like little lambs in a box waiting to be taken to another box.
Right.
You know, every 2 years, you know, these politicians come out, they sling the mud. They're like, oh, well, this person's against this, this person's against that, this person does this, this person does that. Everybody's a goddamn liar. This is the bottom line. You're going to lie to get your way into whatever it is you want to. I mean, people lie to have sex, people lie to get a job, people lie to get credit. You know, who the hell? You know, you're going to lie to get elected into an office.
People lie to make a sale.
Yeah.
In general.
McDonald's.
At a car lot.
McDonald's, as a matter of fact, they lie. On a regular basis.
Yeah, they do, about their secret sauce. And we're going to talk about my freaking disrespect and unhappiness. Disrespect. Yeah, it is disrespectful that you try to even put that crap on my freaking bun. Yeah, I said freaking. Yeah, that happened. So here we are, 33 times, 18 months. They try to pass it. They get told again that the democratically controlled Senate is like, stop. Ladies and gentlemen, last week, even one of the Republican justices for the Supreme Court, John Roberts, switched his opinion.
I remember that.
And came over to the Democratic side and said, you know what, honestly, this is a constitutionally sound document. Like, it's for the betterment of the people in general. I just want you guys to try it for 3 months. Let's try something. And if it doesn't work, that, like, okay, remember when you were a little kid? You went to the store, right?
Right.
Remember KB Toy Stores?
Yes.
KB Toy Stores, they were very popular in the Midwest.
Oh, God, yeah.
KB. And when you went in there, they had all the new Atari 2600 games and all the Nintendo games from when you were a kid. And you'd go in there and you'd be with your mom and you'd be like, oh, my God, look at all the games. You didn't know which games were bad. You looked at the box art, and some of the box arts were horrible. The original Mega Man game box art was really bad. But the game was actually pretty entertaining.
It was.
Okay. So you looked at all the box arts, and you chose what game that you wanted. And then you took it home. You took it home. And you put it in, and that's when you figured out whether you had a Contra. Huh? Contra? Or an E.T. Right? E.T. or Contra. Contra was really good and entertaining. You loved it. E.T. sucked horrible balls. Like Bill.
No, I sucked delightful balls.
Okay.
But you are right. E.T. did suck balls.
It sucked balls. And the truth is, you didn't know until you put the game in. Because none of the magazines would ever lie to you and tell you that the game was horrible. They all just were getting paid to say, oh, we got a new game coming out, it's great. We played it, and this is a screen capture from it.
You know what, I have to agree with you. Because back in the day, they would tell you that
turn
the game...
Turn this way, you're off camera. Oh, come on.
Back in the day, they would tell you that the game was wonderful, marvelous, the graphics were great. When if you played E.T., you knew that was a goddamn lie. You know, they got, what is it called? Some game magazine now. Where they will
EGM?
Actually,
Electronic Gaming Monthly? Nintendo Power?
Something along those lines. Video game reviewers, things like that. But they actually now tell you whether or not they think you should play a game based on storyline, graphics, and things like that.
And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that, Bill, they didn't have a lot of games to play off of before that at that quality level.
No, that's true.
We were still coming up in the technology.
What did we have? Atari?
Yeah.
ColecoVision?
And anything on Nintendo. Literally, even E.T. was better looking than Donkey Kong on Atari. Or Pac-Man on Atari. I mean, like, literally, it was just leaps and bounds. So it doesn't really matter back then. But now we've had enough background to a multitude of games so that now they can judge them against each other and tell you whether you got a good game or not. This is like Obamacare. The point is, we're going to try it. And you know what? You guys might be pleasantly surprised. I've made the attempt to explain to you on this show before. Hundreds of other countries have universal health care. And this isn't even universal health care. This is just another option on the table so that you have a choice. You can keep paying the god of Blue Cross Blue Shield all day long if you want. It doesn't matter. Go for it. No one's going to stop you. They're just saying, hey, now we're going to have another player in the game, and if you want to be a part of that player's team, you can.
Right.
Hundreds of companies have universal health care, free health care all the way across that's government funded. And guess what? Some of those places have had it for almost 100 years. Some of those places. And it's never gone back on the ballot because the people of whatever country hated it so much they wanted to get rid of it, so they put it on a ballot to vote it out. It's never happened. It's never come back onto any ballot, ever, in the history of those countries having universal health care. So if it's so bad, and it's horrible, and works so, just it's pathetic and miserable, like all the Republicans that are walking to the bank, cashing them big checks and driving those nice Ferraris are telling you, why have none of those middle class and low class people in all those other countries ever gotten so angry that they put it back on the chopping block? Because there's no reason to put it back on the chopping block. It's not a bad deal. And you're not going to figure it out until you try it. It's like Mikey when he was a kid.
Right.
Try it. You'll like it. You know, you might. Hey, I'll be the first one to call shenanigans. If it's a totally horrible situation and it's total bullocks, I'm going to say, let's repeal this. Let's get rid of this. This is horrible. You know what I'm saying? But you got to try. And if something's just going to, like, okay, if you know a tire's popped on a car, you know if you turn the car on, the tire's popped, the car's going to run like crap. But if you don't realize that you got whether you got a good or a bad tire, you got to put it on the car to see if it's actually going to pop and have a problem. That's all I'm saying. Enough beating the point into the ground. Bill Delaney.
Yes, sir.
What's it like being a gay male?
In this day and age?
In this day and age, what's it like being a gay male? Do you feel like your rights are being trampled on? Or do you feel that's one of those situations brought up heavily by the gay institution, the LGBT community in general, to just try to kind of like, here's my argument on gay people. You ready?
You're gonna love this.
Let's roll into this. My argument on gay people is this: like atheists and vegans, gay people can't help but tell everybody. You want to know what the quickest way to find out if somebody's gay is? Don't worry about it. They'll tell you. That's the truth. Just like atheists and vegans, they'll all tell you. They put their stickers on their cars. I don't run around with a sticker that says I'm straight all over my shit. Every time I turn around, I go, hey, you know what? We're in this conversation, but I'm straight. Oh, I'm straight. That just means this conversation is that? Like, no, that never happens. Now, a lot of gay people I do know, and I do know a lot of gay people.
Okay.
I mean a lot of gay people.
Right.
Which we actually have a common friend, and I'm going to ask you off the air how you know my common friend, because I know him by his real name and he's an old friend of mine.
Okay.
Okay. So... but gay people go out of their way, coexist in rainbow colors and all these things, and constantly. There's not a straight day parade. We don't have a parade or a weekend at Six Flags that's straight day.
Thank God.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
No, I'm so glad you're saying this, because that shit pisses me off. Okay? The reason I did not, and a lot of people are going to tell you that I'm full of shit, but the reason I do not go to Pride Fest every year is because what the fuck is the point? Okay? You take 1 month out of a year to celebrate the fact that you suck dick, take it in the ass, give it in the ass, whatever, you know. Or if you're a woman, you know, whatever women, whatever they do, okay? No, you should be proud of it 365 days out of the goddamn year, okay? I agree with you. Don't run around, you know, with your little rainbow shirts, your little rainbow stickers, or anything else like that. Be a motherfucking person.
Yeah.
Okay?
Just have a life.
Right.
You know? I don't go around putting it on my chest. Like I said, we don't have straight day at Six Flags.
No, you don't.
Like where everyone's got a straight sticker or a straight shirt.
What would that look like?
Straight and proud. I don't know. It'd probably be just like a black shirt with white lettering with some stripes on it that just says straight and proud. These colors don't, are like, these lines don't bend. That's what it'd say.
Oh, I like
that. Be a shirt that said these lines don't bend. Yeah. So these colors don't run, these lines don't bend. Yeah, we're straight. That's what it'd be. I'm going to make Joe Hipperson. You know what? I love Joe Hipperson. Joe Hipperson, he's going to be my spokesperson for the These Lines Don't Bend movement. I'm going to talk to him off the air about it.
No, I seriously would agree with you. I mean, if we, okay, because the whole thing about gay marriage.
Right.
All right. I'm from days of old. Okay.
Days of old.
Where
Clubland, 1988.
You know, when Faces was still around, you know.
Oh, I remember, yes. Joe and Faces.
But back in those days, if
not Joe Hipperson.
If two men wanted to say, I love you and I want to be with you, it was very simple. It's, I love you, I want to be with you. Okay, fine.
Or there was a hole between the two stalls. You just did what you got to do.
No, I never did like the holes.
All right, fair.
Really. But, you know, I mean.
Dark room.
Yeah, I remember the dark room.
Oh, the dark room. Listen, I'm telling you, been around. Not in that way, but I've been around.
I'm neither for nor against gay marriage. I mean, okay. if two men want to get married and have a piece of paper signifying that they're married, let them go right ahead.
Fair enough.
Because the only people who are going to make any money off of this are the ministers and the lawyers. Because, I'm sorry, you know, two gay men lasting longer than 5 years is something to, you know, party about. So, I mean, celebrate.
I had a friend, some people that live really closely to my mom and dad, who are friends with my mom and dad. They were a gay couple that met in the military back in the 80s. They've been together for almost 20-some-odd years, and they actually broke up just last year.
See? You know, I mean...
But it was a really big situation. Like, it was a really big hit to a lot of their friends and family because they had been together so long, and that's very odd for people to be together that long.
Well, yeah. I mean, especially in the St. Louis community, if you're together longer than a year... You know, that's a reason to celebrate. I mean, I've actually seen gay couples celebrate month to month simply because they don't know if they're going to make it to the next month. You know, I mean, my track record with men is abysmal. It really, really is.
Go figure.
You know, that's because a lot of my exes will tell you it's because I don't like the fact that I'm gay.
Now, that's interesting. Okay. Let's take a quick break on the show.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break here on the queue. When we come back, we're going to talk more to Bill Delaney. Of course, we got letters from the listeners at the end of the show. But we're going to talk to him about exactly what he just proposed. He's a gay male that doesn't like the fact that he's gay. And I think that that's a very unique, interesting take that you don't hear that often. And you're going to hear it right here on the queue. So stay tuned. We'll be back after this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Welcome back to the Cube. Mark Bland, joined today by Bill Delaney, leading gay advocate for the St. Louis of gay community things that they do. Would you say you're an advocate?
I would not say I'm an advocate.
Okay. No. Not an advocate at all. Not an advocate at all. Before the break, our friend Bill, here, this might be pop the collar time. We might need to do this half of the show. Collar popped. This might be a cop. This is bringing producer Jimmy back to his days of high school, but it's no big deal. Hazelwood in the house. Here we go. Actually, it's a little uncomfortable. All right, we're back to the game. Before the break, we basically explained that our friend Bill over here, who made it very apparent to everybody, that he is not proud of being a gay male. That's not a thing that he likes to advocate for as far as himself. He doesn't speak for all gays, obviously.
No.
But it's a unique take. And let's talk about this. Bill, why don't you like being gay? Like, you don't like being gay?
It's not the physical aspect of it, because I do love all, you know, the sexual and physical aspects. But it's... when I came out at 25, you know, the gay community was not very, very accepting.
Now, what year would this have been about? Early 90s?
Mid-90s.
Mid-90s.
Okay. If you were overweight, you were ostracized. You had to be... And even I think it even still stands in this day and age. If, you know, it's very political, it's very cliquey, you know, you have your factions and your groups and everything else like that. If you're overweight, you're looked down on most of the time. If you don't have a lot of money, you know, I mean, there are stereotypes that apparently the gay community in St. Louis feels that they need to, you know, live up to.
Right.
You know, we're all skinny, we're all effeminate. You know, when we talk, we wave our hands all over the damn place. You know, we have high-pitched voices.
Okay, now, before we go any further, do they do those things?
I have been out recently to a club called Rehab in St. Louis.
Okay.
And I have to admit that, yeah, 90% of the clientele...
They use their hands a lot?
Yes.
They talk with high-pitched voices.
They were very effeminate.
They lispy. They're very lispy.
No, they were not lispy.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, girl.
You know, but yeah, I mean, there was a lot of old girl and, you know.
Oh, they say the old girl?
Oh, they still do that. You know.
Old girl. Is that hot? Did that
no, it did not. It did nothing for me. I mean, if you're a man, okay, you're a man.
Oh, girl. How about that? Did that work?
See, no. See, and that's what I cannot stand about the gay community. You're a man.
Right.
Okay. Just because you sleep with other men does not detract from the fact that you are a man.
Right.
You have a penis and you have balls.
Right.
Okay. This means you should act like a man, whatever that definition may
be. What if
you're
conservative and a man? Do you have a penis and balls?
I would hope so.
I don't know.
What is your definition of a gay man? In your opinion, what should a gay man
do? You know, for me, it really comes down to sexual preference. You know, if a guy likes to have sex with other men, he could even be bi. I would say even if you're bi, you're still gay. Like, I know that there's those people like, I'm bi! Yeah, I get it, but you still have sex with men. So that makes you just gay, and you don't mind having sex with women, is the way I look at it.
Okay.
I don't look at it as, oh, there's this special, they're bi, therefore, like, they're just this. Mm-hmm. No. If a woman's not around, a bi man will still have sex with a gay man.
Yes.
Done. So you're just gay. You're either gay or you're not gay.
Okay.
That's the way I look at that. But it really comes down to sexual preference. Like, if you like to have sex with men or the same sex, then that makes you gay. Like, I don't really look at it from the political aspect or anything else. I throw in jokes here and there because I try to be funny, and I'm not very funny. As everyone who's ever listened to this show will tell you, I'm just not funny. But I like to throw a joke in here every once in a while.
Okay. So you have no definition of what a gay man should be like?
No, a guy who's a person of the same sex that has sex with a person of the same sex.
Okay, so
that would be my definition of
a gay man. So you have seen The Birdcage?
Yes, I have seen The Birdcage.
Okay, so you had two...
Very good movie.
Very good movie, fantastic movie. You had two very distinct homosexuals in that movie.
Yes, you have the regular male style.
Right.
In Robin Williams.
Yes.
And you have...
the flamboyant style.
The flamboyant one, which was Nathan Lane.
Right, okay. That's pretty
much... With the dinnerware plates that were hilarious.
No, I have to admit. I'd actually seen those while I was in Greece.
Really?
Yes.
That's weird.
Those plates do exist. It was very, very unique.
I like them. I thought it was fun.
There is really, as far as I'm concerned, in the St. Louis community, I can't say this for everywhere else. I'll be like you. I will not say that it's everywhere. But in the St. Louis community, you are either Robin Williams or you are Nathan Lane. There is no real in-between in the middle. I try to be in the middle, and I get... penalized for it, I guess you will.
Now, what do you think about people who start off or at some point in their life are gay?
Okay.
And then they go, that's it, I'm not gay anymore. I'm not gay anymore. I'm not going to have sex with men anymore. I'm not going to do it. Like, I don't think it's going to turn me on anymore. And then they just shut it off.
That's a man who's lying to himself.
It's a man who's lying to himself.
Yeah, I mean, you are either. You're,
obviously,
you're
you were attracted to men in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you got hard. So to just sit there and say that men will never attract you again.
No, you're lying to yourself. That man is lying to themselves because being gay is not a choice. I did not wake
now,
up
what
one
if they
day.
Do it because of a religious choice? Like, if they felt that, you know, they wanted to get back into a religious position that they were in their life.
They're still, I mean, they're gay Christians.
True. Okay. You know? Yeah.
So I mean, if they're using God as an excuse, well then they're just a piece of shit who just needs to, you know, eliminate themselves from the surplus population. I'm not gonna lie.
They need to kill themselves.
Yeah.
Did you just advocate killing yourself if you're lying to yourself about being gay?
If you're lying to yourself in general.
Bill.
What?
We cannot just go around killing people here or having them kill themselves on our show. I do not condone the advocacy of suicide on my show.
All right, and I support you
Bill
in that.
Bill is not me, though, so he can say whatever the hell he wants.
Okay, and I support you in that, but I it's like this. You are born gay. You did not wake up and say, you know, I don't think I've had my ass kicked enough. I know. I'll just run around sucking dick, taking it in the ass, so that way I can be ostracized even more than I already am. Okay, no, it just does not happen like that.
You haven't met a lot of the professionals in the St. Louis radio community, then, evidently.
Apparently not.
Apparently not. I don't know where I stand on that. Like, I just, I've had a friend before who's just, like, renounced this side of their life and just gone back to that side. They might be lying to themselves. They're not causing any harm to anyone else.
Okay.
You know, they're just doing their own thing.
All right.
You know? And they don't go out and advocate against it to anyone. You know what I'm saying? They're just like, hey, those people are doing their thing. I used to be a part of that, but I'm not a part of that anymore. So I don't really knock the person for it.
I'm just because I don't like being gay doesn't mean I'm going to deny the fact that I am gay.
Yeah, why don't you like the fact that you're gay? Like we never really hammered home exactly what it is. You don't like the connotation. You said it had nothing to do with the sexual aspect.
No, on a psychological level, growing up, you know, if you said the word gay in my house, it had to be in reference to a joke. You know, if you saw a gay man, you had to make fun of him or you had to beat his ass. You know, just basically, you know, try to take him out of society, period.
Okay.
So it was not very easy growing up. When I was 25, I had a difficult time coming out. And when I came out to my mother, she got drunk and prayed to God.
You know. Well, I'm sure that that's a pretty typical response from most sons coming out.
Even to this day, you know, though she'll deny it to her dying breath if she were watching, you know, it's okay if it's okay for me to be gay if she can benefit from it. But the second she stops benefiting from it in any way, shape, or form, then I become one of the black sheep of the family.
Right. Now that's more of a family, personal thing.
Right.
We don't need to get into that here on the show, but I understand what you're saying.
Okay. If I go out into the community, I want to be a person. Okay? I know who I am deep inside.
365 days a year.
Right. I know who I am. I know what I am.
Not just one weekend in June.
Right. Or 1 month, you know, 1 month out of the year.
We don't even count it. You know, breast cancer gets 2 months. They do all that stuff in, what, June? For the walk, and then they do it again in October, the whole freaking month of October. Pink bags and Chinooks and everything. It's ridiculous. Breast cancer is a very bad thing. I get it. I'm against it. But at the same point, you don't have to beat it down in my brain every day. I understand. Pink means breast cancer, and breast cancer is bad.
But getting back to what you said, you know, if I'm having a conversation with a person, you know, it is not my goal by the end of the conversation to let them know I'm gay one way or the other.
Right.
You know, if they manage to figure it out, wonderful for them. I'm just going to be who I am. You know, and that's what I do not like about being gay is I'm surrounded by other gay people who, as you pointed out, have to make it known. You know, either by the way they dress, by the way they talk, by the way they act.
He's gay. You know. He likes cock in his mouth, and he just agreed with everything I said.
You know.
Almost.
It's ridiculous, you know. Let a person judge you based on who you are, not your sexual preference. I don't judge you.
Bill, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Prior to the show starting today, had you ever met me face to face in your entire life?
No.
How many times have we talked on the phone?
A few times.
Twice. Once for a week ago when we first talked, and then once for me to call you to let you know that I was going to pick you up. That's it. We even rode together over here. Spilled a Monster Energy drink all over my car.
Yes, he did.
It's ridiculous. It's not cool. And it's not funny.
Cussed like a sailor.
Yes. I did cuss like a sailor.
But it did not change who you are.
Didn't change who I was whatsoever. You know what has changed? What has changed, and I like to move on with the show a little bit.
All right.
McDonald's now has a new secret that just got let out. As part of McDonald Canada's ongoing transparency campaign, the company's executive chief, Dan Kudrow, responds to a customer's question about the Big Mac's special sauce by demonstrating how to make your own using commonly found ingredients at your house. According to Kudrow, an analogous sauce can be easily prepared using mayonnaise, sweet pickle relish, yellow mustard, white wine vinegar, garlic powder, onion powder, and paprika. Serious Eats dug up a list of Big Mac sauce ingredients found at McDonald's Canada's website, and they are effectively identical to those used in
Kudrow's video with four exceptions. Xanthan gum, a thickening agent. Potassium sorbate, a food preservative. Calcium disodium EDTA, another preservative. It should also be noted that this only applies to the Canadian recipe. The American sauce contains a few more preservatives with unappetizing names. The moral of the story, make your Big Macs at home from now on. So the secret is out. So here's my question. Should anyone care? Do you care?
No.
What's a more impressive one in your opinion? If they had given us the 11 herbs and secret spices of KFC?
Yes.
Or the formula for Coca-Cola or the special sauce on a Big Mac? Which is the one? Rank them. Boom, boom, boom. Which one would you like to know the most?
11 herbs and spices, formula for Coke, and
Big Mac last.
If I had to, yeah.
This is a guy who loves meat in his mouth, and he wants to know about the Big Mac last. Right?
Yeah.
There it is. There it is. I can't get more realistic with you people. I can't do it. Scranton is America's most financially effed city. Yes. Sure, it's true. Cities and counties from Alabama to California have given up and declared bankruptcy due to the ongoing recession of doom. Inherited by one Barack Obama. Hell, San Bernardino just declared bankruptcy yesterday, but those cities are quitters. They've taken themselves out of contention for the losers. For an American city that is still trying to survive financially and failing miserably, there is no better example than Scranton, Pennsylvania, the jewel of Lackawanna County. Also, the home of the Dunder Mifflin Paper Company from The Office.
Okay.
The TV show The Office. You may know Scranton as its setting for the TV show The Office, but from now on, Scranton may be better known as the city where the mayor illegally cut every employee's salary to minimum wage because the city only had $5,000 in the bank and nobody would lend it any money due to the city's own shadiness. Wow. When other governments that are just naturally shady, are unwilling to lend you money because you're shadier than them, it's a bad look. That's all I'm going to say. The unions representing city workers are suing the hell out of the city because the mayor cut everyone's wages down to $7.25 an hour. When a court ordered the city not to do that, the mayor just did that shit anyway. It's a quote. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had a job making about $35,000 a year, but then he just did that shit anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, which is frowned upon in the legal world. You can't just do that shit anyway. You know what I'm saying? In the city's defense, the city has no money and nobody will give the city money. In the city's not defense, no wonder nobody will lend the city any money. Just last month, they refused to honor a taxpayer's guarantee for a parking authority's bond, essentially telling the lender to F off. I've had Travis Cook on the show many a time, and Travis is a reputed conservative. And I've tried to have this conversation with Travis on my weekend show, which you can check out at westplacenewstalk.com, every single Saturday from noon till 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, or 1280 KYRO radio here in St. Louis. That's right, they give me more than just 1 hour a week to talk to you guys nationally. They give me all kinds of hours. Because they feel that I say something of vested interest, and I don't know why they feel that way, because Bill will be the first to attest to you after being on my show for the last 40 minutes. This guy has nothing to say. It's me. I got nothing to say. Nothing important to say. But what I will tell you is this. Our forefathers, no matter how much you want to try to assert what you think that they would have been thinking, they did help each other build their houses.
Yes.
Even though they fought against the tyrannical government and the British government for the Revolutionary War, as soon as that shit was over, the first thing they did was form a government. So evidently it wasn't about being against government.
Right.
Our forefathers weren't against government. They just wanted the government to have some of the rules that reflected upon them. And they actually took on some of the rules that still are in use in England to this day. Mm-hmm. So we are just kind of a mix-mash of the English rules and the government of Parliament over there in Great Britain, as well as some of our new rules that we added to it, and we called it the Declaration of Independence and all that.
Right.
Yeah, you guys suck. You suck as people. And it comes down to that discussion earlier about the whole Obamacare thing, 33 repeal attempts in 18 months.
Right.
It comes down to stuff like this. You guys just can't be trusted. You're not good people. If a person comes up to me and goes, well, I'm running for state, whatever the hell.
In fact, the other day, there was a guy who's running for the Attorney General position of the state of Missouri. We were at a parade in O'Fallon, Missouri.
Okay.
And we couldn't get across the street. And you know what I told him? Because it was a joke, but I really honestly meant it. Because I know that his value as a person is completely useless to our entire society in general. He just wants a paycheck so he can go bitch about Obamacare for 18 solid months. And I know he's a Republican because I saw his little placards. See, if you're a Republican candidate for any office at all, everything is red, white, and blue colors, and that's it. Okay. You never strive from the red, white, and blue color scheme. And it's always got a bunch of stars on it and, like, you know, some elephant somewhere. Like, I get it. You're a Republican. Like, the Democrats and the liberals, they tend to be, you know, they'll use, like, browns. They'll use different colors and different things. Some stick to the red, white, and blue. Some don't, you know. Right. Sometimes they'll do the yellow and green, mm-hmm. you know, the neon yellow and green. So, but I told him, I said, hey, you help me get across this traffic jam right here so I can take my daughter and my son, my two kids, back to the car because it's freaking hot out? I'll vote for you, dude. I ain't going to vote for him. But I'll tell him whatever he wants to hear because he's just going to tell me whatever I want to hear.
Right.
Fair is fair, right? What do you think of Nancy Grace?
Oh, she's the loudmouth opinionated bitch who's got an opinion on everyone and everything, and it's never good.
Yeah, but she was right about Casey Anthony.
If I were straight, I'd have sex with her.
You'd have sex with her?
I would. You know, she's kind of hot in that bitchy sort of way.
These lines don't bend, baby. ThesLinesDon'tBend.com. You go right to ThesLinesDon'tBend.com. Telling you. Joe Hipperson wearing a Nancy Grace These Lines Don't Bend t-shirt. I'm going to make it happen. Oh, yeah. I drink live on my show, and nobody knows why. Move your key. Come on. I thought you were gay.
I didn't know.
House cleaning. You thought you were gay.
You know, another stereotype.
Gay. Clean the house. Make it nice. Make it nice for everyone. Come on, man. Can't just leave bottles hanging out on my screen.
I'm sorry.
I love you.
You're right. You're right. It's only water. It's not alcohol.
Good point. If it was gay, they would be having alcohol.
That's right.
Well, anyway, the mom who accidentally smothered a baby gets shamed by Nancy Grace and sets herself on fire. Yes, Nancy Grace doing all the good Lord's work out there.
The new Joyce Myers?
I guess so. Toni Medrano did a horrible thing. She got drunk, passed out, and ended up smothering her newborn son, which I actually, this is very sad, but there was a couple of people that live about five or six houses down from me on my street about 3 years ago. The father, they took the baby and put it between them on the bed, mm-hmm. and he rolled over and smothered it on accident, which is a very sad thing.
Right.
You know, no real parent, and the people were, like, devastated. They moved. Like, it was just a really painful thing for them. So it wasn't on purpose. You know, accidents do happen, and that's a horrible thing.
Right.
You know, that's just not something that you want to hear about.
No.
She faced two counts of manslaughter in the death of the three-week-old Adrian. But Medrano's case will not be going to trial. On July 2nd, she doused herself in flammable liquid and set herself on fire. According to Medrano's mother, her daughter's depression was largely due to a segment on Nancy Grace's HLN show, in which she dubbed Medrano Vodka Mom. Vodka Mom. She was trying to build and get by and live with what happened. When she saw that, it broke her spirit in the worst way. In the segment, Grace demonstrated how much Medrano had been drinking and suggested she be charged with murder instead of manslaughter. Did mommy booze it up and kill her baby, Grace demanded. Now, there's no denying the heinousness of what Medrano did to her baby, but Grace's coverage brought more public attention to a deeply troubled person. And this isn't the first time Nancy Grace's evisceration of a person led to a suicide. In 2006, she grilled Melinda Duckett about her disappearance of her son, implying that the mother had not done enough. Duckett later shot herself in the head. Medrano's story is sad and all, but Grace's self-appointed role as judge, jury, and executioner didn't do any help to help the situation. Legally, of course, Grace is not culpable. County Attorney Pete Oprin made it clear that it was Medrano's own decision to set herself on fire, and that is true. But Nancy Grace, aside from literally smacking McGraw-Milhaven down on national TV, which was beautiful, it was immaculate to watch Nancy Grace lambaste McGraw-Milhaven on national TV. It was amazing. Like, and he did everything in his power to try to make it sound like he had brought the fight to her and that, like, she just couldn't handle him. Oh, no, no, no. No, no, no. You can rewind that video clip 100 times. She shut dude down. because dude didn't know what the hell he was talking about. He was trying to get some of that CNN time so that he could put it on his resume a little bit more. That was hilarious. Wow. Other than that, she sucks. I'll be the first one to say she sucks. I would talk about that, but let's move on with a couple of... world's heaviest living woman says her weight loss regimen involves having lots of sex. I call shenanigans. Pauline Potter of Sacramento, California.
How much weight did she lose?
No. She hasn't lost it yet. If you see her, she is humongous. She's pallet fat. Like, we got to put her on the back of a flatbed to move her from town to town. You can't throw enough flour at it to find the wet spot. I'm telling you, it's not possible. Okay. Pauline Potter of Sacramento, California told Guinness World Records she laid claim to the title of World's Heaviest Living Woman because she was tired of being this size and wanted to get my story out there so that a doctor or nutritionist could help her. Then the 643-pound 47-year-old did ultimately receive the help she sought, but from an unexpected source, her ex-husband, Alex. Potter told Closer magazine that after seeing a photo of her in Guinness World Records last year, Alex, from whom she divorced 3 years ago, got back in touch, and the two have been engaging in weight-shedding marathon sex sessions ever since. Yeah. That's a big girl.
I'm not even trying to picture that.
That's a big girl. Potter says their sexercise sessions occur multiple times a day, and she's already lost dozens of pounds on her way to the target weight of 532. Really? Really? You're at 643 and you're just trying to get down 100 pounds? You're still going to be an overbloated fat ass. Really? Come on. I'm sorry I'm yelling. I know. Got a microphone on. They always tell me, you don't need to yell, you got a microphone on. Really? You're bloated. Like, if you're 532 and 5'7", you're still going to be freaking humongous. Yeah, you're just not going to be in size 10X pants. You'll be an 8X.
Wow.
That's still huge.
I have to ask, how in the hell is she losing weight? At how much? 642, did you say?
643 pounds in sexercise sessions, marathon sexercise sessions.
Okay, he's doing all the work.
He's doing all the work. She ain't moving. How do you roll her over to figure it out? Seriously. Because I know you're not going frontwise. It's just blubbering over. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. There is a man over in Ferguson that is fighting to grow vegetables in his front yard. Ferguson, Missouri, right down the street from us. Recently laid off, Carl Tricamo set out to plant vegetable garden outside his Ferguson home. He encountered a small obstacle. The backyard didn't have enough sunlight, so Tricamo moved his garden to the front yard, tilling up a 25-foot by 35-foot plot of ground he called the Yarden.
Okay.
Nice. Today, the yard is full bloom, sprouting multiple varieties of beans, corns, peppers, and tomatoes. In March, a city employee visited Tricamo to inform him of an anonymous complaint allegedly made about the garden. A letter from the city arrived several weeks later, outlining various ordinances the 29-year-old father is said to have violated. Leave him alone. He's got a garden in his front yard. It ain't hurt nobody else. It's not an eyesore. Stop it. You want to see an eyesore? Okay, they made fun of East St. Louis on Saturday Night Live. Like 3 months ago. I'll show you an eyesore. Pretty simple. That ain't an eyesore. Let the guy plant his vegetables.
Absolutely. It's just the city of Ferguson trying to make their money.
All right. Let's talk about a couple things. Some letters from the listeners. This is one of the most popular parts of the show.
All right.
I get the most love on my email. By the way, if you want to send me a letter or want some advice or something like that, you can email us. www.theqnow.com. That's www.theqnow.com. Go ahead and send me a line and let's find out about what you guys need some advice or stuff on. Mark, really love the show and think you deserve everything that you have in the way of success. Did you start this show on the radio or the internet? Just curious. Well, here goes. What TV character do you hate with a fiery passion? Okay. I did start this show, The Q, on the internet.
Okay.
I've been in radio and television for many years in medium level positions throughout my career. But never really attained like superstar success or even like I would even say D-list or C-list success, really.
Okay.
And I decided to start this on the internet. The show has gained popularity week after week. And now it's not only on iWatch Radio, but it's on WestplexNewsTalk.com. It's on an actual CBS affiliate and we're in other cities and I got a nice fan base. It's great. So yes, started on the internet. That's how I started this. Fiery passion. What do you think? Bill, who do you hate with a fiery passion on TV shows? Name one character.
Suki from True Blood.
Suki from True Blood. You love True Blood.
I do. It's a secret guilty pleasure.
You like the True Blood?
Yeah.
Is it because of the men who look like Roman gods, or is it because of the storylines? Because I like Dexter.
A little bit of both. I'm not going to lie.
I've only watched the first episode. Some dude got dragged behind a trailer of a pickup truck or something like that.
Right.
It's like episode two.
You know, it's a little bit of both. I mean, the male characters are, you know, they're hot. And the storyline is engaging, but Suki is such an annoying little bitch.
I think that the character that I hate the most annoys the shit out of me. Probably Joffrey on Game of Thrones. Not a big Joffrey fan. The kid, King Emperor.
But
he
but
sucks.
Know that actor does such a wonderful job.
He does a great job. Dinklage does a great job in that show too, as Tyrion.
Yeah.
But Joffrey, that character, I really hate that character with fire passion. He's a little dick. Like, he's just a straight up little. Mark, I hope all is well. Caught the pinball challenge show, and I look forward to you sticking it to those guys in Detroit again. We have some guys from Detroit. Turn the radio off. It's a podcast up there. We had them on my weekend show, and put down a pinball challenge. Cardinals going to whoop that Detroit Tiger butt again, it's looking like. That's what I'm thinking.
All right.
My question is simple. What's the weirdest, craziest, sexiest thing you ever caught someone doing while staring into their car during a traffic stop? So you're sitting, you know, like how people just generally, like, they're sitting in, like, traffic or whatever. Just kind of doing the peruse around. What's the weirdest, craziest thing? Swear to God, saw a guy giving himself a blowjob. Craziest, weirdest thing I've ever seen.
I got nothing on that. I couldn't try to top that one if I wanted to.
If you wanted to. I actually have another one that I'd love to do on the show, but unfortunately, it's about time for us to get out of here on the show. So maybe we'll do this in a little bonus content section at a different time with Bill. You know, maybe me and Bill will get on the phone or something like that, and we'll post that up on the website. First thing I want to do is I want to thank Bill Delaney. Thank you so much, Bill, for coming on the show.
Me.
I appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed your time.
I did.
And if there's anything you want to plug or tell anybody about, go ahead and let them know.
Nothing yet. Got to wait until I publish a few more books.
Fair enough. I also want to say thank you to iWatch Radio, and check out the other shows that are on the network. They have a lot of great shows, and I think you should check out everything on iWatch Radio. Thank you for hosting the show every single week. Thanks to all the fans. I'm looking forward to some donations. Okay, guys, I never ask for donations, but I got to keep the boat floating, you know what I'm saying? It costs money to entertain you guys each week, and if you like what you're hearing, please throw $5 my way. Show your support. It's truly a drop in the bucket, and you won't even know it's missing, but you will have a lot of entertainment, and you will get every week something new in exchange for this $5 donation. So hit me up at theqnow.com, theqnow.com, and you can find out more about the show, the past shows, new shows, a little bit about myself and everything else. That's going to do it for this week here on The Q Show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to The Q. Stay tuned. Control Chaos is next. About no paper, cause the safe is not so safe. The piggy bank got legs and feet and can't get up and walk away. Shouting with my southern drawl, awkwardly I spray like the backside of a skunk in the stash house with the pump. It's the whip and my lap at all times in the